Psalm 119 and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How's he going to clean up his act? How's he going to fix anything in his life? We're born flawed. Wherewithal, in what way shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, here's the answer. I like how God not only asks the right questions, he gives the right answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, this morning I'm going to talk about cleaning up the mind. We're told in Romans 12:2 to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And the first step, the most important step to renewing your mind is cleaning it. Okay? If you're going to renew a house, you're going to prepare it for sale, you got to clean it, amen? So you're in a house and you're going to sell it. You just don't sell it, it is. When we first moved here and we went to a house, we were taken into a house. We went into a house and they were living in it. You remember? And we sort of get in and we're kind of like stepping over stuff and going from room to room. It was like, we don't want to be here. But they just sat there, they were watching television and eating the crisps and stuff. And you just didn't want to buy the house. Okay, you understand? And if you're going to renew your mind, you're going to have to start with cleaning it. Okay? So, I brought in a cleaner, amen. We're told that we must renew our minds. What does that mean? It means to revive our minds from apathy, from sinful tendencies. You know, your habits, I know we have a problem with our heart, and we're going to talk about that this whole month. But really, you cannot blame your heart for what you do. You have to start realizing that you chose to sin. Does that make sense? That your mind decided, I want to do that. Does that make sense? So, if I'm apathetic about spiritual things, about right things, godly things, if I have sinful tendencies, habits, I've got to renew my mind, revive my mind from going that way. Also, it means to restore my mind. Say you had a broken window on the shed. You're going to sell the house, and you have a broken window on the shed. It'd be kind of stupid to say, and here's our lovely shed, don't mind the broken window. You need to restore that window, and people look at you, oh, what a nice shed. You understand what I'm saying? And we need, when the Bible talks about renewing our minds, we need to restore our minds to its proper use. God gave you the most marvelous thing when he gave you a mind. And your mind was not meant to sit and watch SpongeBob SquarePants and you're 46 years old. Amen? That is not the proper use of your mind. Your mind has a great purpose. I think of this guy, Steve Jobs, who died this week and everybody's talking about him, and it's good to talk about a great innovator like him. Do you know it's a shame? People look up and go, wow, what a unique man. It's a shame that he is sort of in a league of his own. Christians used to be the ones who were discovering things, who looked at the world and saw order. Isaac Newton. People who said, I'm going to believe the Bible and that the God of the Bible is smart. It's not by accident. And biochemical engineering and all of these things that people are going into is leading nowhere because Christians aren't taking the lead and saying, let's see what God did, not evolution. Don't leave it to the Steve Jobs, who, by the way, died as a Buddhist. Don't leave it to Steve Jobs to be inventing and dreaming of things that you can be doing. Your mind was made for a great purpose. Don't think, oh, I can never be that smart. You don't have to be smart. Sometimes you just have to dream. You just have to use your mind for what it was designed for, amen? And renewing your mind means restoring it to its proper use and purpose. You're supposed to do it daily. Our minds first need to be cleaned up. The things that occur between these two ears are hurting us more than we admit. And yet we spend very little time and effort making sure that this most marvelous organ of our body is clean and functioning well. When any of us got born again, we didn't leave our minds behind. You didn't come into this room and say, I'll leave my mind over here on the table and come sit down like a vegetable. No, when we got saved, we didn't leave our minds behind. We just had them fixed. Okay? We had them washed. we had our minds cleaned and renewed so that we can use them for right. It's like putting all kinds of grunge. It's like having a marvelous engine in your car. I mean, your car can be beautiful, but the engine's dead. It's no good at all. So you got this engine there. And all you keep putting in is grunge and dirty petrol and maybe diesel into a petrol engine or so on and so forth and thinking it's just going to keep running. You know, I mistakenly put petrol briefly into our diesel van there several years ago and nearly ruined the engine. The diesel had to be flushed out. The fuel filter had to be replaced. And if I had driven it very far at all, the cylinders would have melted and the fuel pump would have burned out because of a lack of the lubricant that's in diesel, not in normal petrol. My point is, you can't just put stuff into your head and not expect that it's going to do no damage. So if you've got a marvelously operating organ called the mind, you got to be careful what goes in. So many people live with filth-filled minds, and they need a good flushing. Amen. They need a good clean, and I aim to do that this morning, and I'm going to use this book to do it. Wherewithal shall any young or old man, young or old woman, cleanse their way? By taking attention. That book, just by obeying it, living it, will clean up our lives. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, would you help us as we dive in? Already started last month with some great preaching on wisdom and on just the renewing of our mind this morning. I just want to keep going and keep allowing you to clean these noggins of ours, these heads of ours, God, that the world is trying to quench, trying to knock out. We want to live. We want our minds. You told us that we should love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Lord, the devil's trying to make it so we can't love you with our mind. I pray that, Lord, this morning we'd be cleaned up. We'd get some things fixed. I pray that some people would get their relationships fixed and to get their thought processes back under your dominion, God. Lord, I pray you'd get all the glory and help somebody in this room to realize their mind has been a playground for the devil. Their heart has been fuel for the fire, and they need Jesus in there. I pray some of you get born again this morning. Help everyone to understand these principles. Help me to teach like Jesus would if you were here. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the mind? What's this thing? Well, your mind, just simply, if you get nothing else from this first point, your mind is what controls your life. Your mind is what raises your hand and puts it down. You may breathe involuntarily, but you smile voluntarily. All right? Your mind decides, oh, hi, oh, wait. Your mind is what governs your life. We are not vegetables. Pick up your carrot and try to make it laugh. We're not vegetables. We're not blobs of skin and bones. We have a mind that molds and shapes the world around us. You lay down on the pillow and you go, this is too flat. And so you go get another pillow or you get a fluffier. Your mind says, I want to fix this thing. That's your mind. It governs your life. It decides what your heart can feel. Your heart may feel like, I quit. But your mind says, shut up, we're not. Amen? Your heart may say, I want to go give out to that person. But your mind says, no, I'm not allowed to do that. I got to love them. You see, the mind is what governs you. Does that make sense? Too many people let their heart govern them. It should never be that the heart is connected to the tongue. It should never be. You have to have a governor. What's the governor? Your mind. And the mind must be dominated by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Our mind decides what our lips say. Our mind decides where our feet take us. Decides what our eyes look at. Our mind is what governs and directs our life. It's the source of all your thoughts. For all those thoughts going on inside your head, what you think and why you think them is in your mind. I mean, it's your memory storage. You don't realize, baby, how many memories you have. All you have to do is walk into a room and smell something, and all of a sudden you're back 30 years ago. Amen? And you remember Mom fixing that, or you remember the toilet overflowing. You don't know. Something comes back to your memory. It's the source of your memories. It's your realm of dreams and your designs. It is what the Bible calls imagination. Does God have an imagination? He sure does. He imagined what blue would look like. And he made blue. Amen? When God said, and he created, there was nothing to choose from. He said, that's what blue's going to look like. That's what red's going to look like. He used his imagination. It's a good thing. Amen? It is also the courtroom where you weigh evidence and make decisions. That's where information comes in. You go, no, I shouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. It is a courtroom, constantly making decisions, and where your will is decided upon. In summary, it's called your conscience. Your hand doesn't just do things. Your feet just don't do. You consciously decide and morally weigh and make decisions. Really, it's not a bad thing that you have a mind. It is a marvelous thing. God gave you your mind. But something's wrong with it. Something's wrong with it. We all start off with messed up minds. We're blinded. Our minds are darkened. They're lust-driven, animalistic. They're defiled and ruined. Look at Genesis chapter 6. You can leave Psalms. Go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Now notice, now this is one of the greatest, this book, no psychologist, no psychiatrist, no counselor can beat what is right here in this Bible. Your actions are determined from the inside, not from external pressures. Look at this. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. What he's doing is wicked, but watch. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Something was wrong with the mind and the heart of man. Go down to verse 11. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Moses, which other verse? There was one other verse. Verse 12. Oh, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. And here, verse 11. And the earth was filled with violence. So that imagination produced action which was violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. It was ruined. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. You may not think. You may think that your mind is doing pretty good. Let me say it that way. But you know, God sees your thoughts. It says in Psalm 94... Thou beholdest my thoughts from afar off. All right? He knows what you're thinking. David also said, you know my downsitting and my uprising. You know all about me. But God knows your thoughts, and he hears your imaginations as they really are. Vain, selfish, sensual, sinful. And what goes through your mind are not just thoughts, but seeds to your actions. That's the scary thing. The things that go through your head will become what you do with your feet and your hand and your eyes and your lips. If you hate someone, you're going to end up hurting them. End of story. Done deal. That's why Jesus said, if you hate somebody, you might as well mark it down. It is as if you murdered them. Because as long as you stay hating, you will hurt. If you lust after someone, you will end up committing adultery with them. Amen. You see, what goes on inside will become what you do on the outside. That's what's the matter with our mind. Now, it's defiled by our heart. Our mind is constantly being ruined by stuff that just sloshes up out of the heart. Go to Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above how many things? It's the most deceitful thing in your life is your own heart. The heart is deceitful above all things, and what kind of wicked? It's desperately wicked, which means totally wicked. Who can know it? You'll never, ever, ever, you'll never admit just how low you can go, how far you could go, because you can't conceive of how bad the stuff is in your heart. Go to Mark now. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. You say, you're painting a bad picture. I have to. Because I want you to want your mind cleaned up. I want you to realize the thoughts that go through your head, the things that just bring you down, have to be cleaned out. And they can be, amen? That's why I'm here. I'm not here because I get a good feeling. I'm here because I get a good cleaning. Mark chapter 7, pick up there in verse 20. And there was an argument there with Jesus about why his disciples were eating with unwashed hands. And Jesus said, forget the hand washing. Let's talk about the heart. And he says this in verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man comes out of him. That defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Where did adultery start? In your heart. Fornications. Where does murder begin? In your heart. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You see, we think that our environment puts all that stuff in there. Our bad friends, and they do influence us. But you know, more than influence, they actually activate us. That stuff's in us already. You don't have to teach a kid to lie. You don't have to teach a child to burp at the table. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. You have to teach them to be unselfish. Amen? It's in us. Our heart is ruined. But here's another thought. Our mind is fed by our flesh. Go to Ephesians now. Go to the right, find Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. We'll come back to these verses in just a few minutes. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, among whom also. And I like how Paul includes himself. See, no Christian ever says, oh, well, I was never as bad as you. Are you kidding? Maybe you just weren't caught. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the what? And we're by nature the children of wrath, not of God, even as others. I love the next verse, but God. There's a good but in there, amen? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. I just want to throw in that good part there. But I want to say we are defiled by our heart and we're fed by our flesh. Be careful. Hey, your heart is influencing your mind. Your flesh, smells, tastes, friends, sights, music, TV, reading material, everything influences you. And you read what you love, not what you ought. Amen? And that thing affects this very powerful organ called the mind. First rule is you better be careful what you allow your flesh to do, what you allow your eyes to watch, what your ears to hear. Somebody says, well, how come you have rules in your home? How come you just don't enjoy life? I enjoy plenty of life. But there are limits, amen. Do you just pop the clutch and take off as fast as you can go when you don't? Maybe you do. That's stupid. Which mind do you have? Let's go to Romans 8:6. There are only two minds in the Bible. Two basic minds. Romans chapter 8 in verse 6. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded, that's your first mind, is death. It's going to kill you. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I like it when God just makes it one or the other. Now, which mind do you have and which kind of mind do you want this morning? Honestly. We'll talk about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind as we go along this month. But I'd like to show you this morning how to clean up your mind. And how to live with a clean mind, a clear conscience, and have strong, simple thinking. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand this. The Bible says, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Was Eve a simpleton? Yes or no? Answer honestly, really. Don't answer like you think. Was Eve a simpleton? No. She's the most intelligent person. She and her husband were the most intelligent people on this planet of all time. Solomon couldn't hold a candle to the wisdom and the understanding that God had started off with mankind with Adam and Eve. But as the serpent beguiled Eve, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. It's a wonderful life they had. And if you're a Christian, you have an awesome life. Don't let the devil muck it up and make it so complex you can't even figure right from wrong. What kind of mind do you have, a spiritual mind or a carnal mind? Let's talk about how to clean up a wicked, filthy, sin-infested, dark, damned mind. I just put it out there on the table, amen? Amen. You say, man, we got it this morning in church, man. I don't even want to talk about what he called my mind, amen? Well, I want it clean. Let's talk about what it means to clean up the mind. 2 Corinthians. You're in Romans, go to the right, find 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What does it mean? Well, just two thoughts here on cleaning up the mind. 2 Corinthians 4:4. It means, especially for the pagan, for the religious but lost person, for everyone who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, it means illuminating your mind. It means shedding some light on things. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world, go back to verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, not the God of heaven, hath blinded the, what? Of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. First thing that has to happen to clean up your mind and your life is to get some light on it. It's called illumination, filling it with truth. Aren't you glad when you read the Bible, you're not reading a fairy tale. We're not following cunningly devised fables. We're following the truth. I know where I came from. And thankfully now I know where I'm going. Amen? But they're not just ignorance of God and ignorant of creation. Most people are ignorant of Jesus Christ. I don't care how much they go to church. I don't care how many Bibles they may own. Most people do not know Jesus. They have their DIY version. They have the Jesus that they will accept, not the one of the Bible. That's right. And illuminating the mind is the beginning where somebody all of a sudden starts saying, I didn't realize how filthy I was. Secondly, to clean up the mind means renewing the mind, as I already said there. Reviving our minds from apathy, sinful tendencies, maintaining a clean conscience, learning how to think right thoughts like Christ did. You think Christ ever thought the things that you think? You think he ever had stuff go through his head like you do? No, I want to think like him. Steve Jobs should not have been a rare innovator in the world. Bible-believing Christians who learn how to renew their mind in this book will change the world far greater than any iPod or iPad ever could. Amen. Now, to clean up your thinking, this is what you need to do. All right, you ready to write this down? First of all, start with Jesus. Go to Mark 5 and verse 15. Mark 5 and verse 15. And really, we're going to end up in verse 15, and I want to show you, we'll go back, and I want to show you the condition of this man and what only Jesus could do. Mark chapter 5. In verse 15, they come to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil, and it had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his what? Amen. And they were afraid. Now run back to verse 1 and let's see the story of this thing. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could what? Bind him, no, not with chains. So they tried to control him, didn't they? Because that he had often, that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. That was not punishment. What was it? They're trying to control him. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He's trying to fix himself, isn't he? He's trying to fix himself. But when he saw Jesus, now that's good enough to start a revival. You know, at work, they need to get over seeing you on Monday morning. They need to go, there's that preacher. Amen. They ought to see Jesus Christ in you. When Jesus Christ came into a village, everybody knew it. When you go into work, or you go into school, everybody knows, there's that born-againer. Amen. Don't you dare be ashamed of who lives inside you. You may not have anything to show for your spiritual life, but if you can show Jesus Christ, it's good enough. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, my God, that thou torment me not. Who's talking? Both the man and the demon. They're both not sure what to do with Jesus. Don't hurt me. Verse 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And believe me, your problem is usually not just one thing. It's, if you're over 15 years old, you've got a legion of disappointments. You've got a legion of hurts and hurtful words, and maybe you've been beat up. I don't know, but by the 15, you've got a legion of stuff to just lose it over. Verse 10, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter them. See, they had made the man unclean, and they wanted to go into an unclean animal, and they felt at home there. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He said, get out. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. And were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And when they come to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed with the devil. I like that word was. I like putting some things in the past, wouldn't you? Be able to say, man, I am not the same as I used to be. Man that was possessed with the devil and had, past tense, the legion, sitting now and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You see, cleansing is not going to happen by sheer willpower. Well, I'm now going to clean my... He tried it. He tried to just get rid of every trouble in his life. Oh, he tried to overlook all the past and everything. Do you know, the only person that can make every tear dry and make every sorrow sing, the only person that ever take every disaster and make it a delight is Jesus Christ. You're going to have to learn that you turn to every self-help book, every channel, every counseling session, every church service in order to get a good feeling. You're just like that guy. You're in the tombs. You're in the caves. You're in the world. You need Jesus Christ. And when he comes in, he'll give you a right mind. He brings a right mind. Let this mind, which was in him, be in you. Quit ignoring. Oh, not there. Only with Jesus comes a new mind. Isaiah 58. I love this. Verse 12 calls Jesus the repairer of the breach. What does that mean? He's a great fixer-upper. He fixes any breaks, any troubles in your life. He's the repairer of all that is broken. You want to write that down? It's Isaiah 58, 12. I don't have time. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And by his stripes we are what? Now, I'm not looking for healing for some wart somewhere. I'm not looking for healing for gout or for overweight. I want healing in the heart and the mind. Amen? That's what he brought. Everybody wants to have external healings. Listen, don't worry about... broken arms, broken toes, broken nose. Don't worry about bald or big lips, big ears. I don't care what you've got. You better worry about your mind. You better worry about the heart. You better worry about that his stripes, his whippings, his beatings, his crucifixion can heal. And it does. Jesus is the first step. If you try and go to anywhere else, you came to this church and says, just show me some stuff, but don't tell me about Jesus. You're wasting your time. Got to start there. As a matter of fact, start and end there, we'll be fine. He's the perfect Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away. Aren't you glad? He doesn't leave sin in you. What does he do? He takes it away. You know what you have? You have scars. You have memories. And you need to let him smooth those over and put on the balm of Gilead. You know what a balm is, don't you? It's an ointment. You ought to let him just make it so that you sing instead of cry when those memories come up. That's what Jesus does. Some of you haven't talked to him in a while. Jesus offers a clean, sound mind to every person on this planet. He didn't offer it just to you and me. We're not an elitist group. It's for the world. He already did what had to be done to clean up your mind, to clean up your thoughts and actually fix your life. All you have to do is just get born again. You say, that's impossible. Of course it is. That's why he has to do it. Invite him into your life, and just guess what? Once you get him into your life like this man did, you're 99% of the way there. You just got to get the mind settled so that I am. Okay, let's get to the second point. Jesus is the first step to clean up your thinking. The more, listen, you don't have to get the rest of this message. If you'll decide, I'm going to spend some time, you don't have to spend for the next 6 days reading your Bible nonstop. Don't you think that that's the only thing that's going to do it. You need to read your Bible and then sit there and say, I better obey it. What I just learned today, if I just obey it, if I ponder it and I enjoy it and then I believe it, man, you don't need the rest of my message. Because your walk with Jesus Christ, what does it say? Casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. You learn that from the Bible. You go, man, I don't need pastor anymore. Well, you do. A little bit. Please keep me around. I'm just a reminder is what I am. I'm that post-it note in front of your fridge saying, go work out. Come on, some of you laugh. Jesus is the first step. Secondly, take an inventory. Take an inventory of what's in your mind. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23. Now, I'm not talking a lot about the difference between the heart and the mind. They are different, but they're almost interchangeable. So don't, sometimes it talks about heart and mind. I'll talk to you next week about understand. Every week we're going to learn a little bit more about the mind. So just understand they're almost interchangeable. So you'll see God use them, but they are different. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my... Now, when he says no, he's not saying for God to know him. He's saying, God, get him out of me, out in the open. That's what it means to know. It means to reveal. Okay, if I know something, it's because something has come out of a hidden state, and all of a sudden, I see it now. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Open it up. See what's in there. Try me and know my thoughts. Let me see what I'm thinking. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And then you can lead me in the way of everlasting. Take an inventory of what's in your mind. That's a scary request. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. A lot of Christians and a lot of people just ignore what's in their head. And they wonder why they end up leaving their wife, why they run away from home, why they end up doing drugs and drink, because they're ignoring what's going on inside of their head. Amen. You know, the best thing, you listen to me real good right now. The best thing this church is doing is investing in a bunch of 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-old kids. And so they're trying to put the fear of God in them. So that in their mind they go, I'm never going down that way. I never want to know the depths of Satan. Amen. You see, some of you, I mean, it's like trying to break up concrete, trying to fix some of us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, God can do all things. That's why we're here. But we know we're like, we're just moving like, we just don't change very well because we've gone through so much. It takes like a dynamite blast. It takes a disaster to get us where all of a sudden we're wanting that book back in our life. Amen? But you better, listen, you better realize what we're doing, we need to invest in the next generation so they don't go through what we did and they don't experience what we see 99% of this world seeing. They're lost. So you need to take an inventory of what's in your mind and don't ignore what's in there. Take a hard, long look at the thoughts that come out of your heart and are mumbled around inside of your mind. Look in chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2. We read verse 3, but look in verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You know, you see these racers in 2012, they're going to have the Olympics. And those runners, you know what they do? They've got those lines there and they blow the whistle or they shoot the gun. And those guys start running and they have to stay in their line, don't they? You see those swimmers, and if they venture out, and those lines are on the floor of the swimming pool, and they're swimming along, if they cross that line, they're disqualified. You know, when you were unsaved, you were following the course of this world, and you didn't even know it. You thought you were a free man. You just staying along, staying in the lines. It says, according to the prince of the power of the air, again, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. Conversation is just a big word for your whole life. In time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Go to chapter 4 now, in verse 22, and see what's in our mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that ye put off, put away concerning, just divorce from you concerning the former conversation, the old man. Right down next to you, the old you. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And now you should be what? Here's our word again. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. You're never going to fix the physical brain of yours. You say, well, will I get a brain like an astronaut? No. You see, your physical mind is not going to be able to be renewed and made, you know, superhero style. But you can get the spirit of your mind renewed. Let's keep going. I gotta find out where I left off. Verse 22. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye now put on the new man. Who's the new man? That's the new you, but it's Jesus Christ. You're putting him on like you put on your clothes, put on the new man, which after God, just like God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, what's the first thing that ought to be looked at your life and say, is there a lie in there? You see, some of you come to church and I think you're born again. I think you're the nicest person. You're sweet. You're kind. I think you're saved. And yet you're living a lie. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, we're going to see whether you're real or not. Be ye, what's the next one that's usually hanging around inside your brain? Anger. Be ye angry and sin not. That's a hard thing. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why? Well, if you start angry and you don't stop angry, guess what's going to happen? Look at the next verse. Neither give place to the devil. It's an open door. So you need to take an inventory and say, am I angry at anybody or anything today? Well, by sundown, it ought to be fixed. I didn't get an amen. Amen. Every one of you ought to terrifyingly say, ow. Because these are things that go on. We think, well, those wicked men and their pornography, well, those men and their lust, well, those women and their sensual living. You better worry about your anger. You better worry about how your tongue just tells a lie and never qualms about it at all. What goes on inside of our head? Let him that stole, there's stealing. Where does stealing begin? In the heart. And it ends up with the mind saying, I want that. And you take it. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. That he may have to give to him that needeth. Everyone in court, prison, ought to be working to make gifts for people who are starving in Somalia. Amen. They ought to be made to work to give to those in need. Amen. let, what's the next words? No corrupt communication proceed out of your... See the word let? Let says, your brain says, I'm not going to say it. I may think it, I may feel it, but the brain says, I cannot let it out of my mouth. You see what? You're going to take an inventory if there's stuff in your mouth. I mean, would you say it around your mother? Would you say it around your wife? Amen. Would you say it around the preacher? Amen. You see it? You see, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I've seen it. I've done it myself, you know. You're mad at somebody, and you're like, I don't want to talk to them. Oh, hi. And you're so sweet to somebody else. You stinking, filthy hypocrite. Your mind is thinking evil. Oh, nice. See, you choose how you speak and how you react. And your mind says, let nothing. If that stuff's going through your mind, you better grab it and bring it down. Identify. You see, we don't even know what's going on inside of our head. Take an inventory. He goes on. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. We're going to talk about building up our mind. I think next week is where it's going to be. To the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He's stuck with you. And he gets grieved with all the stuff that goes on inside of our head. So, verse 31, let all, what's the first word? Bitterness and wrath and anger and, it says I can be angry and sin not. The next verse says, let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor, that's loud talking, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Isn't that stuff inside you? You say, yeah, well, I have a good reason. You may have a good reason. But that stuff inside of you is filthy. You're not God. And it's going to ruin you. You may need to get angry, but you have no need to stay angry. Does that make sense? And take identify what's in your mind. Do you have any idea what's in your mind? Did you know in your mind are all the past images, all the past conversations, the experiences? I can remember phone conversations I had. I remember my first day in sixth class and meeting a friend, a young boy who was going to be my friend for a decade. His name was Claude Garrett. I met him. And I remember him. I remember asking him, what's your phone number? Not what was your mobile. We didn't even dream what a mobile was. I said, what's your phone number? And I remember him saying, 258-5080. I remember the conversation. Amen? Inside your mind are all those experiences. I'm 48 years old. I got plenty of memories, of feelings. I can remember successes and I can remember failures. It's in there. Every hurtful word you ever heard and every hurtful word you ever said, all recorded. I don't care how you try to forget it. It's in there. Every TV show, I remember TV shows. I remember my parents taking me to see a movie called Patton when I was about 5 or 6 years old. My dad and mom made us sit in the back. It was one of those drive-in cinemas. And if you ever saw that filthy film, I saw it later on in life. And that man getting up there and he's in front of that flag and he's sitting there talking about World War II and going in and fighting Rommel and all that stuff. And it was all the bad language. I remember my sister and me in the back go, I remember it. Amen. Think about it. You remember stuff. You just haven't thought about it in a while. Take an inventory. Every movie you've watched, every sinful act you ever participated in, it's in there. You try to forget it, it's there. Every emotion, every feeling that you've ever felt, it's in there. And it has an effect, doesn't it? It produces guilt. It produces sorrow. It produces fears. Sometimes it produces joy. Amen. But it has an effect. And if you're not careful about what you let inside your head of yours, it's only going to harden you and make you what the Bible calls being past feeling. Past feeling. Look at Ephesians 4:19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That's homosexuality. That's heterosexual, unrestrained, fooling around with anybody and everybody. That's just love that's out of control. Gave themselves over, addicted unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. past. 1 Timothy 4 talks about a conscience being seared. I mean, I've burned a few shirts, but you sear your hand. That's a different thing, amen? And you get that thing where it's seared, where it doesn't feel anything anymore. That's what happens when you just let stuff go through your head and through your head and through your head, and it just burns it out, and you just don't feel anymore. Second thing you need to do, not only take inventory of what's inside your head, you need to hate what's inside your head. You see, you cannot just, well, you know, I just don't like this. No, we need to hate it. A carnal mind, understand this thought, a carnal mind is any mind that tries to live its own way. I may try to do good things, but I'm doing it my way. That's a carnal mind. A spiritual mind is a mind that's obedient to doing things Christ's way. Amen. That's you say, do I have this awesome feeling? Do I have an outer body experience when I have a spirit? No, you're just obedient. And you're cheerfully obedient. That is the spiritual mind. A carnal mind is an animal's mind. You know what an animal does? An animal seeks only to eat and reproduce. Hello, 20-year-olds. That's all they want to do. Eat and reproduce. It's a way of thinking that ignores God. And you need to look at your life and say, all week long, do I just live without God? You need to hate that. You need to say, well, I need to fix that. No, you need to hate that. That is wicked sin. What does the Bible say? Psalm 9. All nations that forget God. What is the... The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Not that they didn't have God. Is that they said, oh, I forgot to go to church. Oh, I forgot to read my Bible. Oh, I just forgot to be kind to that person. What? You need to hate that. We're good at knowing what sin is. We're just not good at hating it. Amen? Say amen. I mean, we're in a Bible-believing church. We know what sin is. We just don't hate it. We allow in our minds what we would never allow in our bedroom or in our sitting room or in our kitchen. Do you know, you can never love God and still love the sins that so easily flow in your heart. Luke 16:13 says you cannot love one thing and another thing at the same time. Because you will either love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He doesn't just use money there. He uses the love of things. God already knows what's in your heart. And guess what? He already hates it. Bless you. He's waiting for us to hate it too. 1 Kings chapter 8. I'll show you something here where repentance begins not in the heart, but in the mind. 1 Kings chapter 8. I want to show you a wild statement here. Repentance begins in the mind. Do you know your heart may not want to repent, but your mind needs to say, but I got to do it anyway. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 47. Circle this wonderful word. It's an older word, but it's got lots of meaning. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 47. Yet, if they shall bethink, circle that word. Bethink means ponder or rethink. If they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, they've been punished. If they shall bethink themselves and repent and make supplication unto thee, this is Solomon praying, in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart. It begins where? Thinking, with the mind. My heart may want to do something, but my mind says, I got to drag you back to God. Amen? Some of you want me to drag you to church. Some of you want Brother Dan to text you and say, are you coming to church? Some of you want somebody to always be on top of you. Are you there? How come you're not there? Where are you? Have you read your Bible? Have you prayed today? Have you been good to your cat? You want somebody constantly checking on you. God put you in responsible. God said, you get up. You pick up that book. I don't care what your heart says. Amen. You need to say, I hate the fact I don't read my Bible. Amen. I hate the fact that this attitude of mine thinks I can live without prayer. Amen. Hate what's in there. Repentance begins with the mind. You say, well, you don't feel like repenting. Your mind ought to be scared to death of your heart. It's like, it's desperately wicked. I better not listen to that. Amen. Did you ever have one of those friends who always had unique ideas? Hey, why don't you get on your bike and jump that 8-foot chasm? I had one. I went, that'd be a great idea. 18 stitches later, busted up bike. Do you understand? Your heart says, do this. You need to look and go, I'm not trusting that. You need to say, I am in charge. I'm going to hate what's in my mind and in my heart. Now, don't hate yourself. I'm going to balance this out for a second. See, sometimes you start looking at yourself and you just hate yourself. That's stupid. That's the devil. The devil will come along there and say, see how wicked you are. Look at him and say, tell me something I don't know. Okay? Oh, look out. Look, you're just a hypocrite. Yeah. What are you? Amen. When the devil starts just making you feel bad on yourself and about yourself, remember, Jesus Christ died for sinners. He loves me. Amen. Don't hate yourself. Hate what's in there. Okay? Fourthly, mortify what's in there. Don't think that that's rest in peace. I write down rest in pieces. I want everything that's in my life that's had a hold. I want it in pieces now. I don't want it resting in peace. I want it gone. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 5. Any of you getting woken up yet? Getting challenged a little bit? Getting convicted a little bit? I hope. Because I was. It's not an easy message to preach because it's all about me. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible commands us, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Now, if you've ever hit your thumb with a hammer, you know what I'm talking about. That's almost pretty near mortifying, okay? But he's not talking about your thumbs, your toes, your legs. He's talking about your internal members. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Look at it. There's that word, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. That's evil thinking, evil loving, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So what am I supposed to mortify? I'm supposed to mortify fornication, amen? Don't take a whip and whip yourself because you have a lustful thought. That's not mortifying your fornication. That's not mortifying the thought. You're hurting yourself now. And yet every priest and every Catholic for the whole 1,000 years of the Dark Ages says, here's a whip, here's a little small little cat of nine tails, here's a hard bed, here's a rough clothes to wear. This will help you do penance. Let me tell you, you cannot do penance. You cannot pay for your sin. You do not mortify this flesh. You're stuck with it. Bathe it. Feed it. Give it some sleep. But you can mortify the thought. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, we get it all balanced. We say, oh, I just want to go hide. I just want to get away from everybody. I just need to quit my job. I just need to fall off the face of the earth. That's the devil talking. You need to get that thought and kill it. See, the devil's trying to kill you. He's a liar, deceiver. He's a destroyer. Amen. He wants you dead. So when you get these thoughts that says, well, I'm just no good, slap him. Because he's a liar. Mortify your thoughts. Keep going there. Verse 7. In which also you walked sometime, you lived in them, when you lived in them. But now, listen, we're not only putting away fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, which is like the homosexual crowd, evil concupiscence. But verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. What's the next one? Hello? Does that thing run around in your head? Wrath? Yeah, my mom said, I'm so angry I can't see straight. You ever hear that? I didn't know what she meant till I became a parent. I mean, the eyes just can't fix because they're just bulging, man. Malice, malice. You know what malice is? Malice is you're just formulating. I'm going to get them. When my mom would talk like that, we ran. Malice. Malice is planning to do something wrong. Blasphemy. It starts inside, folks. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have now put on what? The new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. I'm trying. It's a daily renewal of my mind to be like Jesus. But I got to mortify the stuff in there that's not like Jesus. Somebody once said to a sculptor who was breaking away, and he was chiseling away, and he was making a horse. And he was chiseling away at this marble and at this stone thing. And somebody says, how do you do that? How do you make a horse? He says, I just chop away at anything that's not a horse. That's rich, man. That is cool. So when you look inside, now this is just ponder this for a minute, man. Look inside your thoughts, and anything that is not the thought that Christ would think, anything that's not like Jesus Christ needs to be chiseled away. Does that work? Say, man, I got a lot of chiseling to do. Amen. I got a hammer. I'll give it to you. Amen. I've been using it lately. Whew. Mortify your thoughts. Here's the thought. To mortify, two thoughts. To mortify is to render lifeless. To starve out. To allow to die. And then bury it. You ever been to a mortuary? Dead people are in there. You know, there ought to be an area of your life where you say, hey, I distinctly remember burying that thought against you last week. I'm not digging it up. Amen? That's mortifying. You won't kill off what you still love, though. If you love that late-night television, you love those romance novels, you love your sleep, you love your old friends, you love your girlfriend, you love your boyfriend, you're not going to mortify them. You're not. That's why you got to hate them. That's why Jesus said, if you love your parents more than me, you're going to have to look at them and say in your heart, I'm sorry. It's going to look like I hate you, but I have to put him first. And if it costs me everything, he has to be first. You'll end up with more love for them, and they'll never, ever complain about your life once you put Christ first. But to them, they'll think, wow, you've gone fanatical. Well, I just had to decide who I loved. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations. You get a throne, and on that throne, if you're saved, on that throne belongs who? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you may think that you get on that throne and you're ensconced there, and you're sitting there and I'm in charge. But you're only deluded. You're a puppet. You're taken captive at Satan's will, even as saved. And you need to realize anything that's on that throne, keeping Jesus Christ out of being Lord of your life, has to be cast out. I mean, seriously, go to them, grip them, and throw them down. You need to pray like that. This, now I lay me down to sleep, our Father is art in heaven. Quit it. When you pray, you need to say, in comes the battle. I've had these thoughts going through my mind, and I'm confessing them, and I'm taking them here now. Amen. Amen. Mortify it. Go to 1 John, a couple of verses here, 1 John 1:7. You know, once you get that thing on the run, you're going to have to kill it. And I got one chemical that will kill any bug buzzing around inside your head. I'm calling it a bug for fun. There's one chemical substance that'll sterilize any thought that just keeps flying around inside your head. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as Jesus, he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, doesn't say cleansed. What does it say? Cleanseth us from all. Say it with me. All sin. And no sin going inside your head that cannot be sterilized, cannot be burned out. Go to Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats under the Old Testament and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean person, if it sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, and it did, it only sanctified the outer shell. Well, if that's true, how, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more shall it purge your, what? Conscience from dead works to serve the living God. There's a chemical substance. It's not W5. It's not bleach. It's not sugar soap. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, my mom washed my mouth out with soap. Did any of your parents ever did that? Did any of you ever have your mouth washed out with soap? You pitiful people. No wonder you're sinners. Every one of you needed it at least once. I mean, my mom got that rag all lathered up and then, open up. Unfortunately, it only went that far. I need something that went a lot deeper. I thank God for my mom, amen? But I needed something to go deep and would purge and cleanse and wash out my conscience. Mortify it. Mortify. Anything starts, if that thought starts raging around, just plead the blood. Just say, I just flood that out with the blood of Jesus Christ. And then I want to talk for a minute, just wrap. You know, you cannot replace sin in your life. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to overwhelm it. You're going to have to overwhelm what's in your mind. This is probably the most important thing. There's two more thoughts here and we're through, but overwhelm what's in your mind. When I say this, the Bible never commands us to clear our mind. Don't you ever follow these meditations and these yogists and the modern movement that says, let's clear our minds. Let's clear our minds. Take deep breaths. The Bible never tells us to clear our minds. It tells us to clean them. Amen? Can you imagine if every morning your mom cleared the house? Where's the chairs, man? I cleared the house. Good night. We just wanted you to clean it, Mom. Amen? God doesn't ask you to clear your mind. He says for us to clean it. And that's what we're focusing on. And you're going to have to overwhelm evil with good. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. That's why I use the idea of a wave here. Romans. They have these huge super tankers, 450 feet long, 500 feet long, going in the ocean. You know, they've lost super tankers out in the middle of the Pacific. Not the Bermuda Triangle now. We're talking about they just disappear because a wave 100 foot high would just come out of nowhere. And there's no radar that can tell you it's coming. And that ship, I don't care, unless it's actually directed right into it. And believe me, they try. But if that wave comes up there, I don't care how big the ship is, that wave comes along and just topples it, and the weight of that ship, I don't care how many holes are in it, with all that oil, goes down. Listen, you've got to take whatever is in your mind, and you need something more powerful like that wave to just come in and overwhelm whatever is going on inside your head. That's what you need. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but you overcome evil with good. You need something that's bigger than evil. You need something that's more powerful than the sinful thoughts. Hey, Galatians 5. I like this. Galatians 5. Go to the right. You like coming to church? Anybody enjoying this at all? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Which is greater, your flesh or the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. So how am I going to get this flesh under control? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, And all of a sudden, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, I'm trying to stop my lust. I'm trying to stop my anger. I'm trying to stop. You've got the wrong direction. Get overwhelmed by some things. See, you remember when you were a kid and you were bored? Remember, a lot of people get on drugs because they're bored. They find a buzz in it. They turn to a drink and they try a beer and it doesn't have that much buzz. Then they try patties. And they don't remember the next 6 hours. And they go, man, that was cool. That was stupid. But they're like, they're looking for something. They want something to sort of overwhelm their boredom. People turn for depression or guilt or sorrow. They turn to wild parties, man. Oh, this is the life. No, it's death. Amen. Just listen to the music. See, I saw it in the 1970s, 1980s. I remember what an album cover used to look like in the music realm. See, now it's all, la, 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 I'm in love. Oh, we have fun. That's all the covers of all the rock music. But in the 1970s and 80s, it was death. It was blood. It was torture. And they were honest. Amen. Music hasn't changed. Just the covers of them have. Overwhelm evil with good. All that stuff coming inside your head. You're going to have something bigger and more powerful. You know, that's why I like these hymns. I've been to churches. I know the churches where they take the world's music. I was in them. I was in them where they're going, He loves me, yeah, yeah, yeah. He loves me, yeah. Sing it with me, yeah, yeah, yeah. He loves me. And they're talking about Jesus. Sorry. It's wicked. They're using some wicked, filthy, dope head music and trying to worship Jesus with it is wrong. I listen to that music. That overwhelms all the rock music. You say, it's so old-fashioned. It's so hard. It's bigger. That's the stuff that fixed this head. I didn't need to hear Air Supply and Metallica and Led Zeppelin. I didn't need to hear that put to Christian words. Are you with me? Smile if you are. Amen. Overwhelm. Philippians chapter 2. You're in Galatians, go to Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2. What am I gonna overwhelm my thoughts with? Oh, the mind of Jesus Christ. That'll be a good starting, wouldn't it? I think his mind is pretty awesome. You know, here's a temptation, Brother Dan. Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. He's hungry. He's wore out. And he's there. And the devil comes up and says, you hungry? And Jesus would have answered, sure. So why don't you turn these stones to bread? Come on, you want to do it? You can do it. Come on, show us what you got. You know, the mind of Jesus Christ said, I will not. Because I'm living by the promises of God. Not by the urges of the belly. Amen? Now, if he had that kind of a mind, I think I need it too. Amen? Philippians chapter 2, where do I start you? Verse 4, I think. Start there in verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I think Jesus did that, didn't he? Let this way of thinking be in you now, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Never took anything away from God, but made himself of no... Look, the way he thought. He never made himself of reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of us. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself further and he became obedient. There's a mind choice he made. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You need to have that kind of mind. Have the mind of Christ. His way of thinking. Let it blow you away. You ought to just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just go, wow. Amen. Overwhelm it with the words of Christ. Go to John 15 now. John 15. You don't realize it, but over the last 45 minutes, this verse has been true in your life. You've been getting cleaned up. You didn't realize. You thought it was so uncomfortable. So did you when you were 6 years old getting a bath. You didn't want to get the bath, but it was good for you, amen? You come to church, and you get in the Word of God, you're going back and forth, you're getting your mind engaged, and you come away, you're going, I feel clean. Look at John chapter 15, verse 3. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You just read it and let it clean you. You say, I don't understand it. It just feels good. I don't understand it, H2O. Somebody called it dihydroxide. Anyway, it's another fancy name for water. I don't understand it, but I sure do like it. Amen? Let it clean you. Let the words of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16 says. Let it just get in there and just, this is good. Go to Romans 5. Overwhelm. Let the love of God, Romans chapter 5, help you. Whew. Romans 5:5. Excuse me. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love, not our love for God, but the love of God is what? Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. You know what that? We'd say spread abroad. We'd say just spread out all in every corner of your heart. You need to just sit tight. Sometimes, you know what you need to do? You just need to get away from the television. You just need to get away from your kids. You just need to get away from your wife and your husband. You need to sit down and just realize he loves me. And just sing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. You say you're 48 years old. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming just to know the Holy Spirit's in there just trying to spread that love, spread it out. Just says you're loved every corner of your life. Craig Ledbetter is loved by God. Just overwhelmed. You say, I feel pretty low. Good. Just sit and just bask in his love, man. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't keep yourselves in love with God. That's another thing. But keep yourselves in his love. Just like the sunlight. You just stay in the window, man. Mark 12 now. Now you can move on to the next one. Where you can actually overcome evil by setting out to love God yourself. Mark 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 says this. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. This is my responsibility now. With all thy heart. Amen. And with all thy soul. Amen. And with all thy. And with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You know how to overwhelm that wicked, sinful mind and thoughts and heart? Use it for God. I've had people, John's one of them, used to use his hands for the devil's work, playing the devil's music, teaching people the devil's music. You know what he decided? He said, this hand's going to be used for God. That guitar, wherever it is going to be used for God. The guitar's not evil. Amen? The hand's not evil. He just decided to use the hand for God. Some of you got brilliant minds. Impress me. Some of you got brilliant abilities. Instead of using it for the devil, love God with it. Amen? Love God with it, with all your mind. Think on these things, the Bible says. We're going to look at it next week. What sort of things are true? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of good report? Think on these things. Love God. You know, it just cleans you when you start using your heart for God. And I can't emphasize this enough. Overwhelm what's in your mind just with an attitude of praise. It's no good to complain, find fault, because all you're doing is you're just feeding sin in sinful thoughts. Just like you remember the love of God, you need to remember the goodness of God. Go to 1 Samuel 12. I'll show you two strong verses here. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. You ever notice how the Old Testament is connected to the New Testament? They're both good, amen? They both have enough to teach us for the rest of our lives. 1 Samuel chapter 12. In verse 24, only fear the Lord. Are you with me? Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. That's good, amen? You know, there's just a... Go to Psalm 94, I'll say this. Psalm 94. Consider how great things he's done for you. Psalm 94 and verse 19. Now watch the way he phrases this. You might not see it the first time. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy what? Comforts delight my soul. Hey, while you're thinking about everything, God's trying to comfort you, isn't he? And you ought to just step back and go, cool, thanks. They comfort me. I delight in them. Now, if you're spending all your time finding problems, you're just going to just allow more stuff go along inside your head. But when you start praising God, God shows up. God inhabits the praises of his people. See, I only got three things to praise God for. I'd praise him. I'd praise for all three all day and all night for 30 years if I only had three things. I guarantee you, you got 30 times 3,000. You've got more than you know. You ought to start recording, not just answers to prayer, but you ought to just start recording what he gave you without even praying for. That's the truth. And it'll just cleanse you. You just go, what have I got to complain about? What am I looking at the world for? Why am I envying? Why am I hating? Why am I angry? I'm stupid. I just need to praise God. You know what happens? All of those efforts cleanse you because it just overwhelms. You overcome evil with some good things. Last point. All of this is no good unless you do one more thing. You believe it. You see, go to Romans chapter 6. We have a danger in this church that you learn a lot. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm just as guilty as you are. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm just as guilty as you are where I learn a truth, but I don't live it. And I don't believe it enough to live it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be what? To be dead indeed unto sin, but alive now unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now to reckon means to believe it is so, even though it may not feel like it. I was telling in the Bible Institute yesterday, I was using a basic illustration. It's a crude illustration, but it's a biblical illustration. It's of divorce. Here's a man and a woman, and they get a divorce. But they're still alive. And every time that man comes along and he sees that woman from a distance, all of a sudden all the memories come back. All the, oh no, there she is. And oh, everything comes up. And he's got to just reckon, but we're divorced. Now, I don't want anybody divorced. Don't get the wrong idea. But just as every time you have to encounter something buzzing around inside your head, you have to realize it's dead. It does not have power over me. She doesn't have power over my life anymore. He doesn't have power. We are divorced. You understand? That's the cruel, crude illustration that God says that you're going to have to decide that between you and sin, there's been a divorce. Amen? And when sin raises its head up and says, just like your mother-in-law. He says, I'm back. He wants to take back over your life. You got to go, you have no power over my life. I reckon you to be dead. Amen. It's there. That sinful thought, that sinful desire is there pulling you, but you have to reckon it to be dead. You have to believe that Jesus crucified it on the cross. Amen. Believe that it works. Go to Genesis chapter 5. I love how God overrules all of man's in imaginations. Genesis chapter 50. Amen. Everything that goes out inside of my enemy's head, God can overrule. And I'm just going to have to say God's going to make it all turn out for good. Amen. That's a good thing. Would you agree? Amen. You're just going to have, I don't care how sorry your life may be right now. You're going to have to trust whatever the devil means for evil, God's going to make for good. That's believing. Is anybody saved this morning? It'll be because you believe God instead of the world. Amen. Doesn't matter how bad you feel. Doesn't matter what you feel. 1 John says this. We don't have time, but 1 John says, if our heart condemns us, oh, God is greater than our heart. Hallelujah. You know, you can dance on that. Amen. God constantly gives us what kind of his mind? What kind of a mind? God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And he's constantly giving me a sound mind. I need it daily, hourly. Do not let the devil or any other creature ruin your clean mind now. So you got some clean, you got cleaned. Amen. Don't let your wife, don't let your kids, don't let your neighbor, don't let the car, don't let the person who pulls out in front of you get you started back down. Having to get it all cleaned out again. Amen. Amen. And now next week I'll talk about building up your mind so that you get stronger so you don't fall so quick. But if you ever find yourself struggling in your mind again, just remember, Jesus has already taken the first step to fix your mind. Amen. He came, and because of Jesus Christ, that man was in his right mind because of Jesus Christ. So constantly take inventory. Things sneak into your head, amen? I mean, you don't even know what you're watching. Back in the 1950s, they had to ban it in the 1970s, but in the 1950s, you go to the cinema there, and they'd be showing that film, and you'd go 50 times a second, and they would insert a Coca-Cola right in the middle of it. You wouldn't even see it, but your mind would catch it, and you go, I'm thirsty. Remember that? And then a big box of popcorn. Or a bag of Maltesers would appear. And you go, oh, I'm starving. You don't even know why. You don't know why you get some stuff in your head. It just shows up there. Well, that stuff, take inventory and go, I didn't know that was there. I didn't know I was holding on to all of that bitterness. I didn't know I had all of those issues. I didn't know that I was really, really constantly trying to interact and fall in love with all these other things. Wow. Amen. Start hating it. So that stuff doesn't belong in my life. That's where you're going to fail. You're going to be able to see the wrong, but you won't hate it. You'll try to hold on to it and hold on to Jesus Christ. Guess what? You can't love both. And then start mortifying. Take whatever is on that throne of your life and throw it down and then pour the blood all over it. It's like acid. Mortify whatever's in you. Every thought that shows up, say, oh, come here. No. No, you don't look like Jesus. Whew. And then overwhelm. I mean, good night. The wave. You ought to come to church and just go, I mean, as that Bible's preached, you ought to just go, whew. Just the person of Jesus Christ. That's his mind. Let it just overwhelm you. He's the one who figured this out. He's the one that wrote it out. You read the words, man. It cleans you. Just allow the love of God to clean you. Whenever you're struggling, just sit back and go, God says, I'm one day going to be like him. I don't care how long I have to struggle with this thing. One of these days, you know, you got somebody and they lose their leg. And they have to wear a prosthetic leg. One of the guys that was here, what was his name, Nita? What was that family, the husband, the wife, and the boy and the girl? No, that was a long time ago, but boy, you got a wild memory. I'm not going back that far. Just was just right here. You didn't even know it. We had a couple here, and the husband had a fake leg. He said, I like to freak out churches. When I really get excited, instead of me going, amen, I raise my leg, and I go, amen, with his leg. But my point is this. I told him, I said, don't do that. We're fine. But I said, you know, that man has to walk around on that prosthetic leg. You know, he trusts one of these days he's going to have a perfect one again. He can't fix the leg. He has to live with it. One of these is going to be perfect. Amen. And then your own love for God just cleans you up, man. And then you just praise God. It just cleanses you. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. And let's start to believe that this stuff works.